Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, we are on the launching pad, another hour of great gardening tips, tricks, and more. And remember, DougOster.com for everything that is the host of the Organic Gardener Show every Sunday, Rob Pratt Sunday at 7 a.m. on Odyssey 100.1 FM AM 1020 KDK. Eric Countryman from Davy Tree Expert Company is going to be talking about the effect all the rain has had on trees after our 7:30 break. But in the first couple of segments, it's you and Doug. Call us with your gardening question, 866-391-1020. And if you're the 10th caller right now at 412-922-1020, you're going to win a $25 gift certificate from Sorgles out in that great community of Wexford. So here he is, the star of the show, Mr. Doug Oster. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning, Rob. You're the star of the show, though.
No. You're the one that shines the brightest because I can't grow anything. But one thing is for sure, nobody can complain that we haven't had enough rain to grow.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And yes, Eric Countryman from the Davy Tree Expert Company be here after the 7:30 news break. And yes, talking about the effect of all that rain on trees. And it's funny because we were talking, I don't know, 3 weeks ago about the effect of no rain on our landscape. So I guess that's the life of a gardener. I have some free seeds for you if you would like them. It's from a Swiss chard called Perpetual Spinach. I bought a bunch in bulk from Eden Brothers for my Doug's Free Seed Shacks. Those are completely filled with the perpetual spinach. But I've got way too many seeds, and they need a good home. So if you would like them, just go to DougOster.com, and you can see all the address. It's just a self-addressed stamped envelope. So this is a really cool variety of Swiss chard. Even though it's from the same species as chard and beets, it has some important differences. It tastes more like true spinach than chard. And the leaves look like spinach, too. They're kind of flatter and pointed with slimmer stems. It, like I said, it's more of a spinach than a chard. This is something you could start right now in the garden, keep it going most of the winter. Last year I had a bunch of Swiss chard over winter, and it's still there in the garden. The stuff that I started last year at this time is still in the garden. It went all winter and has kept going and cut it when needed. I also put some in a seed shack that's at Hahn Nursery. So if you happen to be from the North Hills, you don't want to send the self-addressed stamped envelope, you can just go to Hahn Nursery, ask where the seed shack is. It's pretty easy to find. And just get a packet that way. They do have, I was there yesterday to fill up the seed shack. They got a lot of stuff on sale. Lilacs half price, a few big caladiums left for about $5. Now, caladiums, the reason I always tell people to buy those now, you'll get another month and a half out of them outside, but they have a bulb underneath that you can save. It's really easy to save all winter inside, and I'll talk about that when we get closer. Also, they got a bunch of herbs there for $1, including lots of basil. So if you're looking for something to add to the garden, or if you'd like to drop by and get my perpetual spinach seeds, you could do it that way. But as I said, if you want a packet of the seeds and you can't get to Hahn Nursery, just go to DougOster.com and the address is there. Send me a self-addressed envelope. I'll send you the seeds right back out. Boy, I texted our friend Steve Rapaski yesterday because I saw $3 running across the road coming home the other day. And then I walked out there the other day and there was $2. A doe with 3 fawns, and I was wondering, why are they all together? Why have they not split up yet? But he was just telling me that they're still in their family groups, and so they're ravaging the garden. You know, for the most part, they don't eat my begonias, but they've been after my begonias. So I've been anything like that, I spray with something called Bob-X. And yeah, I always say Bob-X really smells bad, but it keeps the deer off the stuff. You know, and the smell's only there for a few days, so it's okay. I wanted to list, and I've got all these plants at DougOster.com, but I wanted to talk about some of my favorite plants for the end of the season that are out in Deer Central that are doing great, and the deer walk right by them. And so some of these have long names that you might not be familiar with, and again, just go to the website. Pictures and detailed information about each one of these plants is there, but I just wanted to talk about them. One is called Ligularia Britt Marie Crawford. Britt Marie Crawford is the name of the cultivar. And when I worked at the PG, probably 15 years ago, maybe 20 years ago, the breeder had just introduced this type of Ligularia. It's a shade-loving perennial. And it gets about 4 foot tall. It has big foliage that is like green and bronze with purple stems, but then has these beautiful orange, yellow, daisy-like flowers. And I'll tell you what, this thing, I have never watered it. It's just been indestructible, and as I said, the deer walk right by it. Now, some of the perennials I talk about are long bloomers. This is not a long bloomer. This is 3-4 weeks it'll be here and gone as far as the flowers are, but a lot of times with perennials, plants that come back year after year, it's the foliage that we're looking at. And so this has really beautiful foliage. It's indestructible. The deer don't like it, and it's easy to grow, and it, like I said, it's a shade lover. The other thing is anemone or windflower is blooming right now, and again, it can be a bully if it's in really good soil. So if you have a problem area that's kind of part sun, anemone is good because it could be a 5 foot tall plant. It could be a 1 foot tall plant, depending which one you get. It could be purple, could be white, could be pink. Lots of different variables there. And again, it's something you can put in the garden and it's just going to do its thing. It's going to go nuts. Another shrub that I love, and don't hate me for this, it's called Rose of Sharon, but it's a special variety called Sugar Tip. And again, I saw some of those at Han Nursery yesterday. I'm sure you could find those at just about any nursery. So Sugar Tip is not like a normal Rose of Sharon. It was bred to be sterile. So all those seeds or all those flowers will not drop seeds, and you won't have 1,000 Rose of Sharon. That's why people hate Rose of Sharon. But it's got beautiful variegated foliage, like green and white variegated foliage, and pink double fluffy flowers. I love it, and since it's sterile, that one I actually, because it was a new plant, I watered it twice during the drought. Another thing I got from a guy I met at the Home and Garden Show, Damian Ondo. He loves growing bananas, believe it or not, hardy bananas, and so did a story on him. It was amazing. And he gave me all these, 3 or 4 little starts. And now I've got a banana tree that comes back every year that is almost 10 foot tall. And again, the deer don't go after it. It does its thing. It's in part shade. Out where he has his out in sun, they get even bigger, believe it or not. Really easy to grow. And then in the winter, all I do is cut it back to the ground and mulch it like crazy, and then it comes back on its own. Got some old-fashioned phlox out there that's blooming right now. And again, the deer will nibble on that, but that's just kind of like selective pruning. When they do nibble on it, it branches and flowers again. It has a nice old-fashioned flavor. And then there's an annual that is self-sowing all over the garden called balsam. And it's not grown very much anymore, but it is so easy to grow. It's a type of impatient, but it grows on kind of upright stalks, like 3 foot tall. But I grew a mix last year that called Camellia Flowering Mix, and it dropped seeds everywhere, and now they're blooming all over the vegetable garden. It's awesome. Look at the picture, because I've got a picture up there at DougOster.com of one called Peppermint Stick, and it's a red flower with white variegation. It's just so easy. It's growing by itself, even though it's an annual. It's just a self-sowing annual and just does its thing. Real quick. I've got a trip in May to England, Chelsea Flower Show. It is the Super Bowl of flower shows. This is my third trip back there. but we're adding a visit to Holland for something called Floriad. Floriad only happens every 10 years. It is a garden spectacular, over 143 acres. It's going to be amazing. All the details are at DougOster.com. All right, Rob, we ready for a break?
We're going to take a break. Come back, get some phone calls for Doug Oster, DougOster.com. This is The Organic Gardener on KDKA. Good morning. All right, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Time to get to your phone calls for Doug Oster. Let's say hi to Dan in Washington. Hey, Dan, how you doing? Good morning.
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you. I trust you are as well.
I'm good. Thank you.
Yeah, I had a question about rhubarb. I want to get a couple of rhubarb plants, and I was wondering what do you recommend when to plant and what variety is pretty good for the Washington, PA area.
Well, this would be a great time to put those in the ground, and it'll just be up to what you can find. You know, your local nursery down there should have some rhubarb for you, usually sold as kind of, as a root as opposed to the plant. But this would be a great time to get it established. When you do, just remember that rhubarb is going to be there hopefully forever. And so what you're going to want to do is really improve that soil, dig in some compost for each root that you put in there, and then get water on it. And once it gets established, next spring you'll be good to go. What are you going to make out of that rhubarb, do you know?
Well, actually, I give it to a dear friend of mine, and she bakes the best pie you ever ate in your life.
What is it, rhubarb pie or rhubarb strawberry?
Well, usually she makes rhubarb strawberry, and I've kind of talked her into, when she does mine, just to leave the strawberries for somebody else.
That sounds great. Well, good luck with that rhubarb. And if somebody else is baking pies for me, I'd put in a whole bed of rhubarb.
Let's go to Lloyd in Wexford. No, McCandless. Hi, Lloyd.
Hey, good afternoon or good morning. Thanks a lot for taking my call, Doug. Appreciate it. I have probably an easy question for you. I have tomatoes, and they're cracking. Is that too much water?
That's been often asked question after we had all that rain. Yeah, what happens is, you know, you get deluge with water like that. The plant wants it, keeps uptaking it, getting the water up in there, but the fruit hasn't grown,
right. Can't
grow fast enough, and the skin that's there, once that tomato gets filled up with water, that's what cracks them and splits them.
So it's a stretch mark, basically.
Yeah, that's basically what it is. And
the other question, I got some of those 39-45 tomatoes from you. I finally have one tiny tomato on it. It grows weird. Have you grown those?
Yeah, and you know, the thing is, since we've been saving those, you never know what you're going to get. And so,
could be crossbred with something?
Yeah, sometimes they'll cross with each other and this and that. But, you know, it's supposed to be a nice-sized tomato. It's not supposed to be a little tomato. And so when it comes true, it's kind of an orangish tennis ball-sized fruit that's really super tasty. So everybody gets a little bit something different, and sometimes they don't sprout, and it can be.
Well, it took a while. I tried germinating about 7 or 8 of them, and I think only 2 sprouted.
Yeah.
And the plants almost look like an evergreen. They got weird. It's not like the regular tomato where it spreads all over the place. So, but I'll still send some.
Well, I'm glad you're growing it. That tomato was found on the battlefield of World War II by a Pittsburgher. And I will have the seeds available for people again this winter if anyone's interested in growing that 39-45, as I said, found on the battlefield at World War II. Anybody else on the phone, Rob?
Yep, we got one more call before we hit to the break. Let's go to Kim. Kim's joining us today from Wexford. Hi, Kim.
Hi. Hey, Doug. I have a tomato question. The bottom leaves of my tomatoes have spots on them and are turning yellow, but my tomatoes are still growing. So I wondered if that is early blight or late blight, or is that just all the water or what, and how to treat it?
It's not late blight. So let's not even say the word late blight, because when late blight comes in, it is devastating. And so late blight is black. And so what you're seeing is either early blight or septoria leaf spot. They're very common and look almost the same. And what will happen is the bottom of the plant will start to do what yours are doing. Some people will refer to that as the bottom of my plant is drying up. And so, yes, it turns yellow and spots, and those bottom leaves start to fall off. But it rarely kills the plant, usually just kind of slows it down. At this point of the season, the only thing I would do is I would just gently remove any infected foliage, get it out of there, and let the tomatoes do their thing. Because now that you know your plant's already set tomatoes, you'll be in good shape. And this is something that when we have a real wet period like we had, you know, first it probably happened in the spring actually, and so it doesn't manifest itself till later. But when we have cool, wet weather, that causes the fungal spores to splash up on the tomato, and then they infect the tomato and work their way up to the top. That we have that dry spell and now more water, and then that's when we get that manifestation of the disease. But at this point, nothing to worry about. Remove infected foliage and just enjoy the tomatoes that you get.
Now, here's another question. If those leaves touch other leaves, is that how it spreads? Like, do I have to be careful as I move up the plant?
That's how, you know, that's why we want to keep them as far apart as we can. You know, a lot of people plant their tomatoes on five-foot centers. But at this point of the year, it's not that big of a concern. You've got tomatoes on there. They're going to ripen. They'll be fine. They're not going to be infected. Thanks very much for your call.
Thank you.
All right, Doug, tell us what we're going to be talking about with Eric Countryman.
Well, we're going to be talking about all the different things that I talked to him earlier this week. Well, different things we're seeing with trees because of all that rain we had. You know, that was a lot of rain, you know. Here I am, I'm complaining that it's too dry, and then we go the exact opposite direction. And so we've got a lot to talk about, and we're going to talk a little bit climate change and planting too. There's some changes in the way we should be planting because of the way things have changed. So it'll be interesting. I'll be very interested to see what he has to say.
All right, Eric Countryman coming up right after Rob Taylor checks the news, bottom of the hour. Don't forget, next hour, summer seafood from salmon, crab meat, lobster, shrimp. It's all on the topic of conversation on the Coons Cooking Hour. Then Heffron Tillotson, and Jermoney and you. Then we look back at the Steelers' win last night. Big night for Big Ben, leading the troops for the first time this preseason on the Coons Market Black and Gold Sunday Show. This is Rob Pratt Sunday. You're listening to The Organic Gardener with Doug Oster. DougOster.com, Odyssey 100.1 FM, AM 1020, KDK.
We are joined by Eric Countryman from the Davy Tree Expert Company. Good morning, Eric. How are you?
Good morning, Doug. Doing pretty well. How are you?
I'm doing good. Well, I think it was just a few weeks ago we were crying about how dry it was and how the trees were struggling in the drought, and now we are crying about what's happening to the trees and after all that rain. What are you seeing?
Well, you know, I guess a continuation of what we were talking about the last time, you know, I'm seeing more and more root stress and root problems this year than I think I have in the last definitely five or six, well, probably since the last time we had a deeply, you know, the polar vortex winter where everything got burned in the winter. Now we're seeing kind of the opposite. It's everything's just sitting in wet mud all year and just not really getting the time to freeze and get a rest or to kind of have a decent dry out and growth season anymore. So a lot of root dieback, a lot of, you know, if it's got a little bit of girdling, it's becoming just such a serious problem lately.
Yeah, how do I know if my tree has root rot? Is it any way for me as a homeowner to know that, or do I have to have you guys take a look at it to be sure?
Well, you know, if you're not sure, you always should get, you know, one of us to get a look at it. But, you know, common signs of it getting pretty far along, or you see a lot of, you know, dead ends on your tree branches kind of all over the whole tree. You see, you know, where you're losing, you know, parts of a whole tree. You're seeing spots on the trunk, or even you could see, you know, mushrooms and fungal, you know, nodules growing out of the base of the tree or out of the, you know, roots close near the base.
What other negatives are there to all this rain? Are you seeing fungal issues?
Sometimes because of the heat that is coming with this rain, we don't tend to get a lot of leaf issues, and maybe some superficial ones like a powdery mildew. But the tree issue fungus is usually set in when the leaves are really young, because they don't have their cuticle layer, kind of that, you know, how leaves get a little waxy, a little harder as they, you know, age in the into the year, they're kind of protected from leaf spots. And so if you're seeing it now, it's not really from the rain we're getting right now. It was infected back in, you know, April.
Oh, that makes sense. That's the same sort of thing I was just talking about with tomatoes. They pick up the disease earlier and manifest it later. Because I love my crab apple, but this time of the year after the spring we had, it's pretty much defoliated.
Yeah. And there's nothing you can do about it now except maybe try to fertilize it and get it healthy to go into next spring. But then as soon as that bud breaks, that's when, you know, if you wanted to try to prevent it, you'd have to use some fungicides to try to keep that fungus from setting in. You know, it's called apple scab, from setting in early, because, yeah, by now it'll be, you know, nearly defoliated.
And from your point of view, are there any positives to all this rain for certain trees, or all the way across the board, it's just negative to get that much?
Well, I mean, if a tree, certain varieties of trees, sometimes like your sycamores or your, you know, river birches, things that are willows, things that like water, you know, if we go through a long dry spell, they can kind of hold back and they can be okay when they get the water and they can then really kind of thrive. But if it's other things that like to be kind of in, you know, in the drier woods, like maples, oaks, you know, our more native species, it's too much.
And I'm glad you brought up river birches, because, and I don't know if that's one of the trees that we'll talk about, but there are some changing suggestions as far as planting trees because of the way our climate is changing, right?
Yeah, it's something I've really thought about, and I've read some scientific journal articles about it more and more. And I'm not ready to say here in Pittsburgh we shouldn't plant certain trees, but I guess if it were my yard, you know, one I wouldn't plant is like a European white birch. They like cold climates. They like cold winters. Same thing, honestly, at this point with like sugar maples or, you know, our really native, you know, woodland maple type species. I just think we're not getting the cold enough winters, you know, sustained cold winters to give them that, you know, rest that they need. And then we're just getting these just super humid, hot summers that it's just too much for them.
You know, I've read the same thing. I've interviewed other arborists from Davy Tree, and I'm hearing the same sort of thing. And you know, the one tree that it keeps coming to the surface is sugar maple. And that's kind of sad, because, you know, sugar maple is such an easy tree in general to grow, and such a beautiful tree. And one of the trees that is often recommended by arborists. So what is there something else you would think about planting in place of these trees? You know, like you said, it might be too early to make that determination, but when you're thinking about your own property, would there be something in mind that you would want to plant instead?
You know, off the top of my head, no. You know, I've been saying one of my favorite sort of native shade trees is a black gum. I just like the color of them. I think they're very hardy. But I think it's really going to take us probably, I hate to say it, even another 5 years or more, maybe some research or even some genetic development, where we're going to have to find new trees or kind of, you know, the individualized species inside of a species of tree. Like there are some maples like the Autumn Blaze that handle the, you know, this sort of varying weather pretty well. You know, we're going to have to find some of these newer hybrids that can just be more resilient to the change. I mean, I think the one thing is we can't say it's just necessarily warmer, because if we get another Arctic blast like we did, you know, in 2014, all these trees and plants we brought up from, you know, from the Carolinas to grow up here, they're not going to be able to survive that winter. So I don't think we're ready really to say yet. I don't want to discourage anyone from planting trees. It's just something to be, you know, to be thoughtful about.
Well, since we are coming into the main planting season for trees and shrubs, if I'm out there in the nursery and I'm looking for trees, in your opinion, do I go for a smaller one or a bigger one to plant? If I could, and it doesn't matter to me. I want the expert's opinion in general. Smaller or bigger?
Well, I'll give you two reasons why either is good. If you want that thing to be a big old tree and it needs to be a big old tree pretty quickly, then you got to start with a bigger tree. The problem is the care for a bigger tree is just a lot more. And you probably, anything over about an inch in diameter, you probably want to talk to an expert about how to plant it and maybe have them do it for you so that it's done right. And then get someone to really explain to you how to water it. A lot of people do not water their trees enough, or they water them too frequently. A tree under 1 inch doesn't take a lot to keep alive, and you can really get those roots established into your new soil. And a lot of time, but it'll take a little bit, you know, obviously longer at a smaller size to get up to be a big tree.
Well, Eric, you're answering these questions like a politician. I think you might have to run for office. You've got both giving the smaller and the bigger tree.
It's because it's individualized. It's a lot of times it's individualized to where you're going to put it, who you are as a gardener. You know, if you're diligent and you really want to take it on, I say then go for a big 3 or 4 inch tree. But if you're really a plant and forget, then your smaller ones are going to be better for you.
All right, Eric, hang in there. We're going to bring you back after the break, see if we get some tree questions. Rob, we ready for a break?
Yeah, we'll take a break. We'll come back on the other side, take more of your questions. And if you'd like to join Eric and Doug, 866-391-1020. All right, here we go, folks. Lots of folks wanting to talk to Doug and Eric. And let's get going with Harold up first from McCandless on KDK's Organic Gardener with Doug Oster. Of course, DougOster.com, Eric Countryman, Davy Trees. Go ahead, Harold.
Doug, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes. My question is, I had a baby tree came out, sprayed my 3 crabapple trees. They were in bloom. That worked out well. No apple scab. It's fully foliated, but no crabapples.
Hmm. Well, that can happen, right, Eric, for many reasons, right?
It can. You know, if when they were done spraying, you still had flowers, it should have been able to develop some crabapples. But the other thing we see sometimes, and I think this year, I'm not exactly sure what it was like up in McCandless, but if we get a late frost when they're in flower, that can knock them out too. The other thing too is sometimes as they're developing, you know, you do get them picked over by birds pretty quickly too, which can happen. Kind of a combination of all of that too.
On my crab apple, you know, every once in a while, they'll be frosted, and I won't get the crab apples. This year I did though. Thanks for your question.
No frost. And the other thing is, well, I have to have it have them sprayed every year.
Yeah, every new leaf cycle has to be treated, or it'll come right back.
Right?
One at a time, guys. Go ahead, Eric. What were you going to say?
Sorry about that. I said every new leaf cycle's got to be treated or the apple scab will just come back the next year.
All right, guys. Good job. Let's take one more call before we have to say goodbye to these gentlemen for another Sunday. Here's Glenn in New Kensington. Hey, Glenn, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, sir.
I got a question about gourds. I know it's not trees, but I got this huge gourd plant that just appeared in my driveway, and it's about close to 15, 16 feet long already. I'm just wondering how I take care of these plants that are coming off of this plant.
That's a good problem to have, though. So let it do its thing. You know, if you want it to continue to go through, and is it putting on fruit?
Oh, I've got at least 16 of these things in here on this thing, and some of them are like a foot and a half long already.
This is a good problem to have. What I would do is just make sure it doesn't dry out. I'd give it a little fertilizer, let it go, and then harvest your gourds when they're ready. You know, they'll harden up on the outside, and then you'll have all sorts of gourds. What do they look like?
They're bright yellow and green, and they start out with a straight stem, then they almost turn into a horseshoe.
Oh, that is so cool.
They get a huge ball on one end of them.
Right, right. I know exactly what you're saying. That's exciting. Yeah, at a certain point, they'll harden up, you know, when we get later in the season, and then you'll have 20 gourds that you won't know what to do with, but maybe you can use them as decoration.
I know people that already want them. You know,
oh, that's great news. Well, that's exciting, huh?
I'm more than happy to give them to him. Now, the one problem I went out there yesterday morning, and something ate one of them.
Yeah, well, one thing, the gourd itself?
Well, it ate, I mean, there's no residue from chewing on it. Looks like they ate the whole thing, but I think whatever it was went after the seeds that were in it.
Yeah, that's probably right. Well, that's a good problem. Good luck with the gourds. That's great. And, Rob, do we got just a minute to talk with Eric?
Yeah, go ahead. You got a couple minutes. Go ahead.
Hey, Eric. We talked a little bit about, the change in weather and stuff, but what are the trees that are looking good for you when you go out and you're looking at different properties? What's the important thing for people to know?
So I think the ones that are sort of dealing with the changing weather the best are ones that have been sort of managed by arborists for a good amount of time. They're generally ones that are fertilized very regularly, you know, once a year at least. They're mulched correctly, which my biggest thing is you want to have a mulch ring around the base of it to at least keep you from banging the lawnmower into the base of your tree and, you know, mulch to the correct height, and just ones that are pruned regularly, and pruned properly by someone that knows how to make the proper cuts so that they can heal and you're not getting rot up into the tree. So it really is about having them managed. If you have, you know, several trees and they're very important to you on your property, it's very important to get an arborist to get, you know, to come out and look at it. You know, us here at Davey, we're happy to do it. We come out for free. We make our recommendations for what we can do to help keep your trees healthy. But, you know, the investment in it to maintain them year after year are the ones that are going to kind of push through this changing time the best.
Well, that's great advice all the way around. Well, Eric, thank you very much for your time, and we will talk to you next time.
All right, Doug, take us home.
Okay. I'll be answering questions after the show at DougOster.com. And remember, organic gardeners, you can make our world brighter and safer with each seed you sow and every garden you grow.
All right, there they go, folks. Doug Oster, DougOster.com. Eric Countryman, Davey Tree Talking Trees, every other Sunday after that bottom-of-the-hour newscast at 7:30. We have a chance to get caught up and talk everything that is trees. Now,
we really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.